which we will study today, starting with verse 23 and ending with verse 27. So I will say one line and then you repeat after me. Yatharishikesha kalena devaki.
Yatharishikesha kalena devaki.
Kamsena rutati chiram shikartita.
Kamsena rutati chiram shikartita.
Vimachitam cha sahatma jatita.
Vimachitam cha sahatma jatita.
Svayadivanate namahar vihakana.
Svayadivanate namahar
vihakana. Vishanapagye purishanakashana.
Vishanapagye purishanakashana.
Asatsavaya paravasagichata.
Asatsavaya
Mihemihene ka maharathasita.
Mihemihene ka maharathasita.
Janyasa kashasma hare yakshita.
Janyasa kashasma hare yakshita.
Viparasan yuta shashna. Viparasan yuta shashna. Qualities, how he's beyond this material nature, invisible to the mudha, disha, although he's within and without everything. And he comes for the Paramahansas. But Kunti, in her humility, she thought, well, he's not coming for me, he's coming for these great souls. But actually, he's coming for Kunti and humble devotees like her. And she glorified his holy names, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, his beautiful form, Namo Pankajanavaya. And today we're going to hear about one of his wonderful qualities, how he protects his devotees. So yesterday I gave you some homework. And the first question was, how do you see Krishna in your life today? Now, did somebody try that? Yes, in the very back.
Yes,
Oh, that's what Shivanti Saranta Saraswati said. You try to do your service so nicely that Krishna wants to see you. You're not trying to see Krishna, but act in such a way Krishna will want to see you. And there's a very profound philosophy behind that. That actually we go about the world trying to see everything, but actually we're meant to be seen by Krishna. Just imagine going in front of the deities, instead of you seeing him, just imagine he is seeing you. When you talk to another person, it's not like you're seeing that person, but Krishna in the heart of that person is seeing you. How are you behaving towards that person? Krishna is seeing you. So it's quite a whole different way of seeing things. But anyway, yesterday we were trying to see Krishna. Anybody else? Yes, in the very back. Rasa Vilasini, yes? Ram Navami Wednesday.
I was saying the tradition, I was talking about one day I made this violet bouquet for all the deities.
Right.
I remember when I made it, and then when I was going outside, I looked in the garden and I saw violet. And I was thinking, maybe Ram wants me to make a bouquet for Sita. Uh-huh. Because why would I think, that I'm remembering knowledge?
Right.
Cindy, why would you remember violets now? Suddenly, and then I saw them, I was thinking, she wants me to make a bouquet for Sita.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to think. You see the things of this world, and you think, how can I make this into a beautiful arrangement for Krishna? Yes, that's a wonderful way to see Krishna. When you look at the world, you don't think, I wish I could smell those violets. And some people may think, most people think like that. Those flowers are for me to smell. But we think, how wonderful it would look if I could give those flowers and make them beautiful for Sita. Okay, anybody else? Yes?
When I was attending a course today.
You're attending a course?
Yeah, and there, the presenter, he showed us a picture of a pipe, actually.
Of a pipe?
Yeah, and we asked everyone, what do you see? And somebody said, pipe. And somebody said, horn, somebody said everything. He said, and one answer came, no, it's not a pipe, it's a picture of a pipe.
Oh.
He says, yeah, see, that's the difference. The picture of a pipe is not a pipe. And then I was thinking, the name Krishna is Krishna.
Is Krishna.
So,
right, very good. So, what a wonderful way to think of Krishna by seeing a picture of a pipe. Now, who can do that except a devotee? Only a devotee can see Krishna by seeing a picture of a pipe. Imagine. Okay. Oh, maybe an artist too. An artist can see Krishna in everything in this world. Okay, anybody else see Krishna in a different way today? Trying to see Krishna in your life. That was really good. You did your homework. Yes?
I was looking at these pigeons around the corner from my place, and on their necks it turns green.
The pigeons.
Different colours,
The colours of the neck.
And it reminded me of Krishna's peacock feather.
Okay.
And all the colours reflect like that.
So the picture, seeing a pigeon made him think of the peacock feather, the same colour. So next time you see a pigeon, think of the peacock feather on Krishna's head. Okay. Anybody else have something they would like to share about that? Yes.
Get up in the morning, drink the warm water.
When you drink water in the morning.
In the morning, my wife said, look, we were discussing yesterday, Krishna is the water, the taste of water.
Krishna is the taste of water. Oh, you're tasting Krishna. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful? Every time you drank water, you'd think of Krishna. Actually, Srila Prabhupada told us to say, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, every time before we drank water. And so that was remembering Krishna. Very good. Anybody else remembered Krishna in your life today? Okay, now, what about if... Now we have the second homework question. Suppose you didn't see Krishna in your life today. So, how come? Why? What was the problem? What was the obstacle to seeing Krishna? Were you too busy to see Krishna today? Yes? Yes? Not busy.
It's because my old past, whatever samskaras I have, I'm just seeing a person, I'm thinking whenever, I was focusing, I should see Krishna. My vision of focus, you said, Krishna is Paramatma in everyone.
Yes. Good.
Paramatma. I'm trying to see that one. Everyone is part of Krishna. I'm just meditating on one more point. Krishna has left something about himself in every person. I'm just trying to focus on that more time.
Wonderful.
But every time, you know, due to my anarthas or whatever it is, my past samskaras, I'm just looking at every person, you know. This person, he's from India.
Right.
Now he might be devotee.
Right.
This person is from somewhere else.
Right.
You know, mind is.
So it was very difficult because of your conditioning, your past conditioning.
I tried to meditate on that.
Yeah. Yeah, in Bhagavad Gita, that is knowledge in the mode of passion. If you see different aspects, if you see a difference between the different things in this world, that's knowledge in the mode of passion. Mode of goodness, you will see the oneness of everything in this world. Yes.
Basically, for me, I thought it was more of when I'm centered on myself.
Oh, right.
That makes me feel, like, for example, I relate everything to myself.
Oh, okay.
Basically, I'm a school teacher. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's how I teach, that I'm teaching well. So when I'm focused on myself, I'm conveying the concept well.
Okay.
Then it is totally me.
Right.
And whether the kids are listening to my instructions, or whether they're not listening to my instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So it is rather than me, rather than so that's an obstacle there.
Yeah, it's an obstacle. If you have a very responsible service like a teacher, and a lot depends upon you to convey the message, so you tend to think that it all depends on me, and if I do it right, then so hard how to think of Krishna. Yes. Well, as devotees, we think we are. Well, we work as if everything depends on us, but we pray as if everything depends on Krishna. So in the morning we pray, and then we go about and do our service and depend on Krishna during the day. And we try to be an instrument of Krishna. So as devotees we see that actually it is the intelligence and the knowledge is coming from Krishna. And if I'm open, if I'm receptive, then it can go through me and manifest to others. So, yes, okay, that's nice that you thought like that.
At the moment, because of processing, I can only get to the point of, say, if a student misbehaves badly.
Right.
Normally in this Western school it's quite common.
Right.
At least I don't take it personally.
Right,
okay,
that's good.
But I'm not able to see Krishna in my duty.
Right.
Apart from that aspect, when the student is misbehaving, I'm no longer reactive.
So you understand it's nothing personal.
Not that student who says something more, I'm supposed to get it. But otherwise, in my teaching, I'm not able to see Krishna. I don't know how I can change.
Yeah, pray. Before you teach, pray and offer it to Krishna. Okay, I'm offering this to you and at your lotus feet, and if you like, you can make me successful. Like Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he looked at all the crazy Westerners and he said, I don't know how I'll be able to tell them this message. And how will they listen? So Prabhupada, he prayed that, let my words be pure and perfect and let the audience also understand. So he prayed for his audience. He prayed, so as a speaker you often pray for empowerment to speak, but also he prayed for his audience, that let them understand the message. Anybody else have obstacles to remembering Krishna? Yes?
Distraction.
Distraction, okay. How can there be distraction in the temple? Yes, there is distraction. There is distraction. Okay, so now we'll go to verse 23. Kasena rasa ki shiram sachita vivachitam cha samatma jatipa tayana tena mahasipatena. O Rishikesha, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So Krishna, although he's in the spiritual world and he has nothing to do with this world, he comes here to save his devotees and to kill the demons. He likes to be the hero of the Leela. And one time, 500 years ago, there was this Emperor Akbar, and he asked his minister, Birbal, that you know, why should God come here? Why does he need to come? And he couldn't understand, you know, that he comes for his devotees. So then Virgil showed him one day, why should God himself come? So he had a dummy made of the emperor's grandchild, a little dummy child. And then it fell into the pool, and it looked like the grandchild was drowning. And so the king, emperor, with all his jewels and everything, jumped in the pool to save that grandchild. So then he said, see, that's why Krishna comes. Because his own dear devotee is in danger, so he comes to save his devotee. So when we hear of Leela, we can understand Krishna is a person. He's not like the impersonalists say, oh, he's just a form, something dull, nirakar. No, he's got a form, he's a person. So if we can understand, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam eham yovedi tat tatha. If you understand my birth and my activities, you will not come back to this world. So today we're going to be hearing about Krishna's activities. So if you hear carefully, then you will not come back to this world. And Srila Prabhupada says something even more merciful than Krishna. Krishna says, if you understand my activities, you will not come back. Prabhupada says, if you just try to understand Krishna's activities, you will not come back. So Prabhupada always gives us a concession, knowing our dull brains. So therefore, we should just try to understand Krishna's activities, and you will not come back. So here it says in the verse, Muhur Vipad Ganat. Muhur, Prabhupada says, means 24 hours. Danger. Vipad, danger. Ganat. So many kinds of danger. So Kunti, she had many more dangers than Devaki. Krishna was more favorable to Kunti because she didn't have a husband. She was a single mother. So Krishna had to give her more protection. Devaki had a husband. So we may wonder, well, how is it that these devotees, these great devotees, had to face so many dangers? So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it is the nature of this world that danger is there. So don't be disturbed by the danger. If we are Krishna conscious, we should depend on Krishna. Face the danger, we depend on Krishna. So whatever happens to us is actually a token reaction. If we cut our finger a little bit, then we should have had our hand cut off, actually, but we just got a little cut on our finger. So Govinda Dasi, my God's sister, she was serving Srila Prabhupada in the early days, like 1967, and she had a really bad cold one day, and she was serving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada noticed, and he said, oh, you have a cold. That means Krishna is checking off your account. So we all have an account of reactions that are supposed to come. But actually, Krishna is giving us just a little bit so that we don't think this is a nice place to stay here in this world. We want to go back to him. And so we do have our little cold. And whatever happens to us. So Vimochita, they were released. So Prabhupada said, you just depend on Krishna and he will save you. When I was at the Govardhan retreat about many years ago, there was one devotee, I think, yeah, she's from Perth, Suchi Rani. I don't know if you know her. Yeah, you know Suchi Rani. So at that point at Govardhan, she was dying, actually. She was leaving her body. She came to the retreat and she was lying down on a mattress on the hill. And we were all sitting on the ground and in chairs, and she was just on a mattress listening to the katha. And then we all went around at the end and gave our realizations. So Suchi Rani's realization was that you must find that shelter beyond the gross and the subtle. And so in this world, people have so many shelters. And when we become devotees, we think, oh, now I'm a devotee, there should be no trouble. Why is there trouble? So it's not that the hurricane will stop. The hurricane will come, but we will learn how to be peaceful when the hurricane comes. Even though a hurricane and problems come, we'll depend on Krishna. We'll see Krishna's hand in it. So in this world, people have so many shelters. When they're in danger, where do people go in this world? Who can tell me what kind of shelter? Where do people go for shelter? Money?
People,
other people, help? Yes? Hmm? Family, friends, food,
medicine,
medicine. And in the recent Back to Godhead, it says, now people, they go shopping to relieve themselves from distress. Of course, that won't help the person who has the job and making the money, but some people do that. In America, when you're in trouble, you pick up the phone and you dial 911 if there is some danger. And so one lady, she did that. There was a tornado. I used to live when I was a child in Chicago, in the Midwest, and there's these tornadoes. It's a whirlwind, like, they come down and they take your house or your roof away. And so this lady, she saw this tornado coming, so she dialed 911. And then, well, she was ready, but then she looked at the whirlwind and she saw the police car was in the tornado. Put down the receiver. No, it's not good. You have to pray to Krishna in these cases, tsunami, tornado, and these kind of things. Only Krishna can help. So we may have so many shelters, but actually Krishna is the only shelter. And Kunti has this realization. So in verse 24, she has a whole list of dangers that Krishna protected her and her family from. Vishan Mahatme Purishad Darshana Asat Sabaya Varasa Vichata Mihena Deneka Maharpa Shanta Tanya Satashasana Hare Hirakshita. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. So one thing to note about the Pandavas, every time they had a danger, after the danger was over, they came out better. So the first one was Vishan, the poison cake. So Bhima was fed poison by Duryodhan. He became unconscious. They threw him, chained him, threw him in the Jamuna. He went to the bottom and he was bitten by snakes who neutralized the poison. And then he was taken down to Nagaloka, and they gave him, for 3 days, they gave him a feast, and they gave him this special nectar that made him much more powerful and strong than he was before. So after 3 days, he came out rejuvenated and much stronger, and he came out better for the whole thing. So then they were put in the house on fire, and they escaped. And after they escaped, they went to Ekachakra, and they took shelter in a Brahmana's house there. And there was a cannibal. Here it says, Purushada Darshana, that there was a great cannibal, or a Rakshasa. And this Rakshasa was terrorizing the village. He was taking... they had to offer one person from somebody's house every day, a different family. So finally it came to the turn of the family where the Pandavas were staying. And Kunti heard everybody crying, and they'll say, I'll go. They say, no, I'll go. And so we'll both go. The husband and wife were saying. And then Kunti overheard, she said, oh, my Bhima can go, don't worry, he'll take care of the Rakshasa. And then when Bhima came home, he said, no problem. But then Yudhisthira got angry, and he said, how come you're volunteering Bhima for this, you know? But anyway, Bhima went, he said, no problem. And, you know, you get a whole cartload of food to give to the Rakshasa, and Bhima, of course, ate the whole cartload of food just to make sure he got enough strength to fight the Rakshasa. And then, of course, he did kill that Rakshasa. So because of this, the house on fire, they went to this, they got Draupadi during that time. They got Draupadi for their wife, and also they killed that Rakshasa and saved all those people from that Rakshasa. So then Asat Sabaya, Draupadi was attempted to be naked in the assembly of uncultured men. And at first she tried to save herself and by holding onto her sari, but then she thought, it's impossible. Both hands in the air, hey Govinda. And so, Krishna, if you like, you can save me. And Nectar of Devotion says, this cry of Draupadi has put me into her debt. So, Prabhupada said, therefore, It's not so good to save yourself, but just try to depend on Krishna. Krishna, if you like, you can save me. Otherwise, kill me. Of course, we try to save ourselves. So, because of that incident, then all the soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were destined to die. Just because of that insult to a Vaishnavi, to Draupadi, then everybody had to die. Then the next one, they were in the forest for 12 years. And then the 13th year, they had to be incognito. So who can tell me how they came out better by being in the forest? It seems like a very austere life. What happened in the forest that you could say helped the Pandavas in their...
They got
Arjuna. Yeah, Arjuna. You got all the weapons when they were out in the forest.
They
went to heavenly planets, yes.
They got enlightened by the Brahma.
Yes, yes. In the forest, Narada came to visit, Vyasadeva, even Lord Krishna came. So they were hearing so many wonderful things in the forest. Yes? Oh, they got Ghatotkach. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and he saved the life of Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra by taking Karna's dart in his body. He took the he fought with Karna so fiercely that Karna had to throw his invincible dart to kill Ghatotkach.
They got the when they got married to then they got a lot of kings.
Oh yeah.
To help them.
Yeah, they got everything. So many things because they went to the forest. And they made a lot of friends. They made Virat, which became their friend. And so many nice things. So then the battlefield of Kurukshetra, of course, they got Arjuna, got Krishna as his chariot driver.
And they got a final victory.
And final victory, yes.
And,
finally, the weapon of Ashwatthama was sent, and Krishna protected Parikshit in the womb. So because of that, then Parikshit got that vision of Krishna in the womb, and his whole life that's why he was called Parikshit, examiner. He was looking at everyone. Is that the person? Is that Krishna? Is that the one I saw? The whole life he was searching for Krishna. And so they all came out better. So in our life also, when we have challenges, you have another one for?
I was going to say Krishna also explains to them why they've gone to the forest and why all this had happened.
Right.
Because they've forgotten the month of Purushottam.
They forgot the month. Okay.
That's
an external reason. There are other reasons. Yeah, so many things had to happen. The Mahabharata had to be written also. So what would Mahabharata be without all these stories of the Pandavas in the forest and so many things happening? So if we depend on Krishna, it will come out the better. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was here, then Srila Prabhupada had to fight many battles in India. When we were in India, I was in Calcutta, so we didn't have much problem, but in Bombay they had a big problem with the Juhu temple. And in that time in India, all the pujaris were ladies except Jananivas. And so when they came to attack the temple, then there was one lady pujari. She was very big and fat, and she was trying to protect the deities by holding her arms on each pole. But they dragged her away by her hair to the jail. So this, but in the end, it was for the better, because after that, then we got so much support from the people of Bombay after that incident, and everybody was determined to have us build that temple. There was so much austerity. And so now also, in the beginning of Australia, I think the devotees had a lot of trouble with the police. They're always being put in jail. And now someone just told me that for the Harinam, there was one lady harassing, one Buddhist lady, and the council themselves said, oh, we'll go talk to her. And they told her, don't disturb these devotees, they're doing good. So it became the opposite, now it came out for the better. Yeah?
They always look after the Harinam party, if anybody is there, they always make sure we're right.
Yes. So now everything is... Because the devotees, they went through so much austerity for Krishna and danger for Krishna. Now Krishna gives protection. So we have to... In fact, Prabhupada said in one lecture that Krishna is giving all of us protection. And right from the beginning of our devotional life, we have Krishna's protection. It's not that after you become a pure devotee. Right from the beginning, you have that protection. And Krishna wants to give us so much protection, but our problem is we don't accept it. We think we have other ways to protect ourselves. Yeah, there is one time, actually, Prabhupada said if we want full protection, then there's one verse in Bhagavad Gita you have to follow. Sarva dharma pratityaja mamekam sharanam vrajami. And then, you know, Prabhupada, this means give up, abandon all varieties of religion, surrender to me. Now, Prabhupada would translate this verse in different ways according to what he was talking about. So in this lecture on protection, he translated like this: give up your own manufactured, concocted means of protection and just surrender to me. So you can, when you think of you want Krishna's protection, just remember that verse of Bhagavad Gita, a very famous verse. Sarva dharma paritaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshe shami ma shivshaha. Do not worry. So many people are worried these days. Even devotees sometimes worry because they forget Krishna is there in their lives. So whenever you feel worried, remember this verse where Krishna says, ma shichaha, do not worry, I will protect you. Just imagine if you have somebody protecting you 24 hours a day, and it's Krishna. I mean, and he's the strongest and he has everything. And that protection, we can access that protection also by chanting the holy name. And because in the name is all the power of Krishna. All the power of Krishna is there in his name. So we should feel this urgent need for Krishna's protection, because we're always in danger. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we should feel, please protect me from Maya. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he would always say this prayer according to Shukadeva, his servants, that please Krishna protect me from falling into Maya. So we need to be protected from Maya, actually, and from so many things. So how to chant like that, that we want to ask Krishna to protect us? Ramdas Maharaj, he had a story about when he was, before he was a devotee, he used to work delivering newspapers door to door to different people's houses. So what you have to do when you deliver newspapers is sometimes you have to open the door of the house and give the paper to the person. So one time he opened the door and he was face to face with a huge dog who had his mouth open and ready to bite. So what did he do? He called the name of the master of the dog. Mr. Smith, come and get your dog. And so the owner said one sharp word and the dog just got scared and put his tail between his legs and ran. So when Maya is attacking us, we just call the owner of Maya, Krishna, and she will go away from us. We have to chant like that. So our first homework question for today is, how do we feel Krishna's protection in our lives? Now you don't have much time between today's class and tomorrow, because tomorrow's class is 10:30 in the morning. So you have to look tonight and tomorrow morning before 10:30. How is Krishna protecting you in your life? And the second question is, how am I depending on Krishna in my life? In what way do I depend on Krishna? How am I depending on Krishna? For what? For what am I depending? Okay, so let's have a few ideas. Oh, actually, that's not the second question. That's the first question. I'm going to give you a second question. I forgot. I just remembered the second question. So just protection and dependence. That's like one question. That's your first question. Who can give me an idea? How is Krishna protecting you in your life? Right now, even. Is he protecting you now? Yes?
You're alive.
If we're alive, that means he's protecting us. Right. We cannot breathe. We cannot walk. Our heart cannot beat unless Super Soul is there with us, protecting us. In fact, this whole creation, it's made by Krishna's glance. But there's a verse in 11th canto that says, if he were to stop glancing for 1 second, the whole creation would be finished. So he didn't just glance at the beginning. He's still looking at the creation. Otherwise, we would not be here. We would not be here. Very good. Any other way? Yes?
I remember a few years ago, Krishna from the heart Buddha protected me, saved my life, because I bought a ticket to the plane, and then meanwhile going back in the shuttle bus, I just got this burning feeling in the heart to go and return this ticket back.
Okay.
And I went, and I had no idea because I had no other money. I just went and did that, just, you know.
You gave the ticket back to the airplane.
And then I found out that that plane was crashed.
The plane crashed.
Yeah.
So here's an example. That was before you were a devotee, or
no, just 2 years back.
Oh, when you were a devotee, she bought a plane ticket, and then she got a very burning feeling in the heart, returned that ticket, and she did, and the plane crashed. So. Yes, do listen to Super Soul in your heart, and because that voice is very strong for devotees. It is there. Other outside people, they call it conscience. They call that voice conscience. We call it Super Soul. We call it Super Soul. Okay, any other ideas? Yes?
We have our day-to-day life. Everyone is dependent on the sun rising.
Yeah, sun rising.
Water,
very good.
Everything.
Good.
Yes, we don't have any control over that.
Right.
It's happening.
It's just happening.
Why it's happening?
Yes.
Who has control over it? So we're kind of totally dependent on.
Yeah, we're dependent on the sun rising. I mean, we all have great faith that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. And if it doesn't, then of course, if you live in Sweden, that's another story. That's, it sets in February. It sets in October and it rises in February. Actually, in the winter, yeah, and I go there in summer, so it rises in it's the opposite. Then it rises in April and it sets in October. It's like you don't see the sunset. Yes.
I was going to say it's actually always risen. It just depends where you are in the cosmos.
Okay, there you go. The sun has always risen. Just depends where you are. It's a relative. Yes. Right now, the sun is there in America, I believe. Sun is there, because I know my son is there, and I... Oh, no, it's sleeping, he's sleeping. Right. Okay, sorry, except that every time I travel somewhere, the time changes. Right, okay. Yeah, so somewhere the sun is there. Somewhere in this world. In India. In India, they have sun now. They're behind us, 5.5 hours. Yes?
Lord Krishna, he's protecting us. He's the air that we breathe.
He's the air.
He's the water that we drink.
Yes.
And without his direction, neither can we walk, neither can nor can we talk, hear, appreciate.
Okay. Very good.
So as Paramatma in our heart, he's guiding us for that.
Right.
And everything around us.
Good. So I want you to be very conscious tonight and tomorrow morning before 10:30 about Krishna's protection. So now one time Narada Muni went to Krishna and he was joking with Krishna and he said, you know, my Lord Krishna, by becoming your devotee, the Pandavas are so happy. They lost their kingdom, their wife is insulted, now they're banished for 12 years. So you think this is a very good thing for your devotees? He said, but the wonderful thing I see, in spite of all these inconveniences, their love for you is increasing. How is that? Have you hypnotized them? And so this is a devotee. Tatsenu kambhamsu samikshamana. If they're put in difficulty, they say, oh, this is the mercy of Krishna. Krishna's grace. I should have suffered 100 times more. He's just giving me a little bit. So therefore, now Kunti is going to make the ultimate prayer. Verse 25. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So Kunti did not desire an anxiety-free, peaceful life, but a life full of problems, if Krishna is there. So, should we pray like this? Some say yes. Okay. Let the calamities... I don't think you need to pray for calamities. They're going to come anyway. I think it's, don't worry about that, you know. Just try to, I think this is a prayer for somebody who's ready to surrender completely. So I don't know. Yes?
Bhakti Prabhu asked Ramai Swami, what happens if you practice all this but you still haven't surrendered? He said, very easy, Krishna gives you cancer.
Okay, so Ramai Swami was asked, what happens if you don't practice?
No, practice
you pray like that.
You still haven't surrendered.
And you still haven't surrendered, then you get cancer.
Then you really surrender.
Yeah, then you, okay. So, know what you're asking for. Just ask for service. That would be Krishna. And so, Akurna Bhava Darshanam, by seeing you, I can stop this repetition of birth and death. So let all these dangers come. Because whenever we're in danger, we call you and you come. He's, now Krishna is saying goodbye to Kunti, going back to Dwarka. And he said, now you saved us so many times. Now we have the throne, we've got the kingdom, and you're going away. So I don't want. Let me remain in danger always. But please don't go. Please stay with us. We need you. Don't think that now we are safe. No, still, we need you now. And so, in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. So the challenge of our life is to transform our difficulties into sources of freedom and understand. So one thing about, Kunti, yes. There's a very nice comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He's talking here, it says vipad, vipada santutashasa. Vipad means danger, calamities. So her danger, her distress, her vipad was her sampad, her opulence. Her danger, her distress condition, that was her great opulence and happiness. And her opulence, her sampad, was her vipad. Her, when she got the opulence, the kingdom, that was her distress. Because without Krishna, then it's distress. And so, another comment, that there's a verse in 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse 8, the devotees of the Lord do not regard as very troublesome the suffering he imposes on them. Indeed, they find, in the end, it gives rise to unlimited pleasure, just as a stinging ointment applied by a doctor cures his patient's eye. So one time, Srila Prabhupada was sick, very sick. Shutakirti tells a story. He had fever and he was diarrhea. He was tossing and turning for 3 days, very sick. And so after that, he became okay. And Shutakirti, he was always very cautious, asking questions of Prabhupada. So he didn't want to ask him directly. So he asked Prabhupada, "Does a pure devotee suffer?" An indirect question. And then Prabhupada answered directly. He said, "No. It was a lover's bite." So that was his relationship with Krishna. The fever, the dysentery, it was Krishna's love for him. That's how he saw it. He said, okay, it's just Krishna. So Chay Rishi, one of my godbrothers, was asked Srila Prabhupada in Tehran. He was preaching in Tehran. "Is it true, Prabhupada, Krishna is testing us every day? We're having tests?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, if you want a very responsible position, then there is a question of tests. If you want to become a vagabond, you know, vagabond, it means like a bum or beggar, so there's no test. But if you want to be a responsible devotee, you will get tested." So just like Prahlad, Bali Maharaj, they had to pass tests. And so then Atreya Rishi asked, "And the more advanced devotee, the more severe the test?" Prabhupada said, "No, after you pass the exam, no more tests." So just pass the exam. That's all. There's something you have to learn from everything that happens in your life. Take it as a learning experience. What is Krishna trying to tell me now? And so if you understand the lesson, then you won't have that test again. Just understand the lesson. So then Prabhupada was asked, so the test, if you pass the test, that means if you have good faith in Krishna? The Prabhupada said, okay, what do you mean by faith? Atreya Rishi said, okay, conviction. Prabhupada said, what conviction? Describe. What is your conviction? Atreya, oh, Krishna is the controller. Prabhupada said, yeah, Krishna's control. You may have faith or no faith. That doesn't matter. Wasn't the answer. Okay, so next. Next one, Navayovana. Harisori said, when he's convinced Krishna will always protect him, but then Navayovana got the right answer. When he's convinced to abide by the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, yes. Faith means you're meant for giving some service to Krishna, and you stick to that service in spite of all impediments. That is passing all the tests. You have some service and you just do it. And that's determination, executing the order of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada was giving one class in Hyderabad in the early days of 1972. So an Indian gentleman raised his hand and said, I think, he was giving the Bhagavad Gita class, Prabhupada. So this man says, I think Arjuna was not a pure devotee because in the battle of Kurukshetra, after his son Abhimanyu died, he was lamenting. And Krishna told him the whole Bhagavad Gita, you should not lament. So I think he's not a pure devotee. So what did Prabhupada say? He said, no, that is natural if your son dies. That is human. That's the human nature. You will lament if your son dies. The proof that he's a pure devotee is he didn't leave the battlefield. He kept fighting. Even though his son died, he went on. The next day he fought even more fiercely. He didn't say, okay, I quit. I go home. My son died. I'm not doing this anymore. He didn't quit. He didn't resign. He said, no. Next, he went and he got that person who is responsible, Jayadratha. He went through the whole army of Kauravas to get that man who is responsible. So that is passing the test. Following, doing your service, following the instructions no matter what. So next verse, how to chant purely. What are the obstacles to chanting with quality? Verse 26. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself, with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So, these can be obstacles. If you have a high birth, you become very proud. Oh, I'm in this family, I cannot go to chant with these devotees. Or somebody may have a lot of money, and he won't, if the devotees come knocking on his door, then you have to get through so many chokidars and secretaries, and you cannot even meet the devotee. So wealth could be an obstacle, and education, the professor, you know, I already know everything, so why should I listen? Or else beauty. If you're beautiful in this world, you can control people by your beauty. So they'll think, well, why do I need to chant Hare Krishna? I'm all right with my life. And so these can be obstacles. There was, Prabhupada gives a story of one rich man's wife was sick, and the servant was also sick at the same time. So the doctor came and he said, oh, your wife is not so serious, it's only, do centigrade here or Fahrenheit?
Centigrade.
So it's just 39, right? That's not so bad, or 38 point something. But your servant is very sick, 41. And so then the wife said, why? She has a higher temperature than me. I should have 41 and she should have 39. So this is the material world. That we are thinking, I should have all the opulence. Why? I should have all these things. But actually, they're like rocks that take us down to the bottom of the ocean. You will sink faster if you have more things that you're attached to. You'll go faster to the bottom. And so everybody thinks they need, there are necessities like computers and cell phones and so many things. These are signs of the times. We didn't have even tape recorders in the old days. We didn't even have TV. I remember when TV came. And I was really ancient, you know, many years ago. There was no TV. Unthinkable. But yes, it's true. Yes. So these things, and they increased the fever. I was living in the village in India, in Goa, for 5 years. And I was there before TV came to that village. And before TV came, everybody was at nighttime, they would visit each other and have like a social life. Then after the TV came, we went to visit our friends, and they're sitting in front of the TV. They don't want to talk, they don't want to look. The TV is everything. So this is modern advancement of civilization. That it has. In London, one of my friends was preaching to some Indian people in London, life members. He went to visit them, and they were sitting around very depressed, and he said, "What happened? Somebody died?" "No, her TV is broken." So this is modern. Now you don't need TV because you have computers, so you can just do anything online. We have advanced much more since the old days when even now TV is also out. My son says, he says, "Don't need TV, computer. Internet is much better. You can get everything on internet." Yes, even I know, you can get everything. I was looking for a date on Vaishnava calendar in the Chinga Chaturdashi in Los Angeles, and I got it on the internet. It's Vaishnava calendar. You can type any city of the world and get the date. And so yes, internet has replaced. In fact, in India, in one university, they had a debate. Who is God? Who is better, Google or God? And they were saying Google is better because all the languages he knows, he's everywhere, he knows everything. And there was a debate actually in the college. And some students actually thought Google was better than God because you can see every place in the world and you can learn anything from Google. So this is the sign of our times, advancement. So these people cannot chant feelingly the Hare Krishna mantra. It's very difficult. So Akinchana, Tvam Akinchana Gochanam, you belong, she says, you belong to the one who has nothing. So people in this world, they think that to possess all these things, this makes you very secure and satisfied. But recently we saw in Japan, nothing, they couldn't help you when the tsunami came or the earthquake came. They couldn't help you. So we depend on so many things for shelter. And Prabhupada gives the example of family life. If I leave my home, this is for those who are old and don't want to take sannyas. So Prabhupada felt that he also was in that category. If I leave home, if I fall sick, who will take care of me? No, I'm not leaving home. But actually my experience is that if we go out and preach, the whole world becomes your family. And you have sons and daughters all over the world, and grandchildren, and mothers and fathers. And they take better care of you than your own children, actually. That's what I found. And they take better care than your own children. And so it's worth it. When you get old like me, go out and preach. And it will be very nice for the world and for you. So Prabhupada was remembering his life in Vrindavan. He wrote one, I'll just read two verses from his Vrindavan bhajan. I am sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood I'm getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money. So they are fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength it has all become tasteless to me today. Krishna says, I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the all-merciful? Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of the family life is a list of names. 200 years from now, who will remember you? Who will remember us? 200 years from now, you'll be a name, okay, great, 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 great grandfather, or grandmother, or a picture on the wall, maybe you will be. But who will remember us? There will be a list, yes. And the list doesn't usually go back that far nowadays, just grandparents, great grandparents, maybe at the most. And so, therefore, in this time that we have, we should be very serious. Prabhupada talks about the naked form of material nature. What does that mean? Has anybody seen that? Naked form of material nature. What does it actually mean for us devotees? Yes? Nothing desirable, okay. Nothing desirable in this world. Yes? Natural disasters are there. Okay, that's a naked form, yes. It's a very beautiful, glittering, attractive cover, but behind it there's so much calamity. Yes? Easy.
Just extreme suffering.
Extreme suffering, yeah.
All those things are still desirable, but they pale into insignificance compared to
Krishna. They pale into insignificance. Well, yeah, but there's actually a reality of something that goes along with it, too. Yes?
It's like a beautiful body, the most attractive body you've ever seen, but it's all worms inside.
Worms inside. Okay. And there's another analogy, not analogy, but there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam about the universal form. The most beautiful, attractive part of the universal form is the smile. But behind the smile are the teeth. So, the universal form, you smile, but then you go in and you get crushed by the teeth of the kala or time. This is the reality. This is the naked form of material nature. That is very beautiful and attractive, but when you go deep, and you find that the teeth are there. The teeth are there. So Prabhupada said that in the beginning he had some dreams and his spiritual master was coming to him asking, please come out and take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, oh, I have to become a sannyasi, leave my family, this is horrible. And so he said, but my spiritual master forced me, and that is his mercy. So therefore Prabhupada realized that when he actually left everything, he said, in one lecture he said, I had 5 children, and now I have 500 children. That was in the beginning. Now, then it became 5,000 children. And so, Nirvanda Krishna Sambandhaya, Kinchana. Kinchana means someone who possesses nothing. And so, Srila Prabhupada said that the 6 Goswamis, they were living under a different tree. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he built many beautiful temples. But he was just as renounced as his guru, Gaurakishordas Babaji, who just lived with nothing. He said, and equally renounced was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And equally renounced was Srila Prabhupada. He had so many beautiful temples. This room up here is so beautiful. You see the nice furniture and the nice bed and everything that Prabhupada had. So many places all over the world like that. But he said, I was cursed like Narada Muni, that I cannot stay in one place more than 3 days. Cursed by the parents of my disciples. And so Prabhupada was completely renounced. One time one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada that, where do you stay? He said, I stay in a 747 jet plane. That is my home. That is, yes. It's 1977, he went to Bhuvaneshwar. At that time it was just a hut, the Gaurgovinda Maharaj was living. And the devotees arranged for Prabhupada to stay in a very nice guest house, very comfortable. And Prabhupada said, no, I will stay in that hut that Gaurgovinda Maharaj has built for me. I will stay there. So he stayed there for 17 days. And there, I know, my husband and I, we stayed there. There were 2 rooms, and we stayed in one, and Maharaj was in the next room. And there was no water, there was no electricity, there was nothing. Mosquitoes and snakes and in the middle of nowhere. But now it's, I haven't seen it, but they say it's all built up, and the temple is beautiful, and there's houses all around. But Prabhupada, he was very renounced. He preferred the hut to the opulent places. So Prabhupada said we should always remember that even if we have a very comfortable place to stay, the temple may be very comfortable, but it's for a preaching actually. It's for to attract people. So one more homework question. because this was about also about Krishna taking away a little bit. So the first question is, how do you see Krishna's protection? The second question is, how does Krishna take away from you, and how does he give you? What does he take and what does he give? Notice that. You have a choice of questions tonight. So who can give some ideas? One idea, two ideas. Takes away anarthas. Okay, yes.
I had a personal experience. When before I joined the movement, I had a restaurant in Perth.
You had?
A restaurant. I used to meet and everything, but I used to chant it. Bankei and Suchirani brought me into the movement.
Bankei and Suchirani brought you?
Yeah, they were my new business together.
Right.
So one day, my restaurant, somebody put a match on my restaurant.
It went on fire. It burned up.
Yeah. So when I went to temple, they said it's good.
And he said it's good.
You are a Brahmin, you were selling meat. This is Krishna's mercy.
He says, because you're a Brahmin and you were selling meat, so this is Krishna's mercy.
And then it took 6 months to actually to rebuild back again.
So you rebuilt it in 6 months.
And I tried, then the police came and catch me, so you burned yourself.
And the police came and caught you and said you burnt yourself?
Yeah. So I had to say, then I was chanting more and more all the time, you know.
And you chanted more, increase your chanting.
I read all the Bhagavatam, you know, I had to go to maybe a 3 week in jail as well. And
for burning your own restaurant.
And I won the case, and I sold everything.
And you sold it.
I took everything, but I got very good money for the building. Uh-huh. And I gave me back.
Because she gave you back the money.
I had imports for business, since then I become very clear.
So you had okay, you lost your restaurant,
yeah,
and that was Krishna's mercy. So now you don't do meat anymore. Very good. Krishna saved you.
Then Krishna gave me another business.
Yeah, he gave you another business.
So
yeah, he gives and he takes away and he gives. I also found that. One time I got down to my last rupee, and then I went to preach somewhere, and then, you know, devotees gave me so much, and so many things, you know, a blender and all kinds of things. All right, Krishna. Just have to depend on you. Yes?
My nephew was losing his house. You know, he's got a young family and stuff, and so he had to sell it because he couldn't make the payments. He said to me, when you go down the temple, can you pray to Krishna to help you?
Uh-huh.
If I pray to Krishna to help you, you'll lose your wife and kids as well. It makes a lot of
sense. Okay. Yes. All right, so this is your second question. Now the last verse for today, verse 27. Nama kincha vittaya divitta guru vittaya ahmara maya shantaya kaivaya patena. My obeisances are unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions or the actions of material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied. Therefore, you are the most gentle and are the master of the minds. So if we have nothing materially, then we have Krishna. Because Krishna, and if we have Krishna, we have everything. Because Krishna is everything. So a real devotee, a kinshana, has only Krishna. He has nothing material to give anyone, but he can give Krishna. Krishna is the wealth, a kinshana vitta. He is the wealth of the renounced devotee. So Srila Prabhupada said that I got Krishna's special favor, that he took away everything from me. When I was 25 years old, my guru told me to go out and preach, and I thought, okay, first I'll make a lot of money, become a rich man, and I'll use the money for preaching. And so then, and he said, and the astrologer said, yes, you should have become like Birla, as that rich. He told Prabhupada. So then everything, he was a manager of a big chemical factory, but then eventually everything collapsed and he lost everything. He said, that way I was forced to carry out the order of my spiritual master. And when everything was taken away, I approached Krishna saying, you are the only shelter. And so Krishna is the property of the devotee. There was one man I read in Indradumna Swami's many years ago, there was another devotee. A similar thing happened to this devotee. That he went to Vrindavan and he had a very flourishing business in his country. And he was a Muslim. But then he came to Vrindavan, he prayed to Radharani, please take away all the obstacles to my devotional service. So he went back, his business failed. And so then he started another smaller business that didn't take up so much time. So then Maharaj asked, well, what are you doing in your spare time? And he said, well, oh, I'm chanting 32 rounds a day now. And I don't have to spend so much time in my business. And he said, I had one realization. Before, when I was worshipping Allah, Allah gave me so much wealth. And then I started worshipping Krishna, and Krishna took away everything but gave me his lotus feet. So people in, of course, this goes for any religion, it's not just Allah. There are many Hindus who also go for the wealth. And Christians, it's not just a Muslim religion, but it's that way also for anybody. But actually there are Hindus who are afraid to worship Krishna in Tamil Nadu and in even Malaysia, because they know his reputation of taking everything away, and so they're afraid, they don't want to worship Krishna, you know, anybody else, not Krishna. And sometimes they will worship Krishna, but they won't give him a flute, because the flute is very dangerous. You hear the flute, you may just forget everything and follow Krishna. So this is, yes, I'm told in Malaysia and in Tamil Nadu that this is the people, they are afraid to worship Krishna. And so Krishna here, it says he's nirita guna vritaye. If he takes you, if the devotee takes Krishna as the only possession, then he becomes free from the prison of this material nature. So you gain something, you lose something. You get Krishna, then you lose your attachment for this world. Atmaramaya, but then you become very happy. Very happy. If you connect with Krishna, yesterday I was saying you get an ocean of intelligence. But another thing you get if you connect with Krishna is you get an ocean of happiness. Anandam buddhi vartanam. You chant the holy name. And so Prabhupada was talking about Goloka Vrindavan, and he said Krishna's friends, they are completely anxiety free about themselves. They don't worry. Because they say, oh, there's Krishna. He will just protect us. He said, but Krishna sometimes gets in anxiety how to protect his devotees, like with Agastya. So we leave all the anxiety to Krishna. Of course, we shouldn't think that way, but yes, don't worry. Krishna says don't worry. You just surrender to me and I will take care of you. So now I'll just finish that we have two homework questions for tomorrow. The first one is, how is Krishna's protection, or how are we depending on Krishna in our life? And the second one is, how is Krishna giving us? What is he giving us, and what is he taking away? So are there any questions at this point? Oh, if not, I have something to ask you. Yes, one question.
In the beginning, there was a statement made to find shelter beyond grass and gross and subtle.
Beyond the gross, that was Suchi Rani's realization, yes. So
can we
shelter. Okay. Yeah, the shelter, as we discussed, people seek shelter first in the gross things, like money, family, and then the subtle means if you're very intelligent. So many people, they think, okay, if any problem, I can buy myself out of the situation. I have money. There won't be any problem. I can always bribe somebody, or I can use my money to save myself. That's like gross shelter. Now subtle, and also this body. You think, okay, I have this body. It's working nicely, and that will surely save me. I can take shelter of my body. I can work hard, go to work, and make money, and I will be okay. Now, sattva means your intelligence. You can think, okay, even if I get in any situation, my intelligence will save me. I can get out, I can save myself by using my intelligence or my knowledge. So this is more subtle shelters. These are subtle shelters. Intelligence, knowledge. It's more mental things. And I'm very strong mentally. I have a strong willpower. Nobody can stop me. I have determination. These are subtle. And the gross is like the physical body, the money, or beauty, if you have some beauty. Birth of my family. Yes, my relatives will save me. Oh, I'm in trouble with the government. Don't worry, I have connections in the government. They will surely save me. Okay, so here's a question for you to think about. This is for now, not for tomorrow and not for tonight. This is for right now. Think about a time in your life that you have suffered while practicing Krishna consciousness. Did the body suffer? Okay, just think. If this happened, if it didn't, good, then you just chant Hare Krishna, don't worry about it. But if you have some suffering during your time as a devotee, just think about that. Now, so after thinking about it, I'm not going to ask you what you suffered or what happened, anything like that. That's confidential. But here's a question that we can share with each other. What did you learn from that suffering? So when you suffered in Krishna consciousness, what did you learn from that? Now, all I want to hear is, what did you learn? I don't want to hear the story or anything, because that would take forever. And we did have some good stories today about you losing your restaurant and got a better business. And so what did you learn from your suffering? If you have something, you can raise your hand and share it with us. Yes?
I learned that I'm still not ready to die.
Okay, you learned that you're still not ready to die. Okay? Yes? You learned that it could have been much worse if you hadn't tried to take shelter of Krishna. Okay? That's a good lesson. You've been in much worse situations.
Yeah, in that situation you suffered a lot more.
You suffered a lot more, okay.
They have, like people have, generally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh, people who have been in a situation like yourself have suffered much more.
Yeah, but because we were trying to, you know, ask Krishna to help. Well,
you asked Krishna's help, right.
It felt not so bad.
It wasn't so bad. Okay, in the back, yes?
Taking things away.
Taking things away. So what did you learn?
More of my, when you get suffering, maybe you have to realize there's something to me. As in official,
you learned that you didn't need those things? After all?
Sins.
Okay. Oh, sins. Oh, I thought you said things. Yes. Okay. He took your sins away. That's what you learned. Okay. Good. Yes?
Never walk away from Krishna.
Never walk away from Krishna. Okay, that's a good lesson. Yes?
Keep chanting through the suffering.
Don't stop chanting. Yes?
Only shelter is Guru and Krishna.
Only shelter is Guru and Krishna. Yes, in the very back? Yes? We have only, we'll get peace if we take shelter of Krishna. If you depend on something else, you will be disturbed. So just try it. You probably already have tried it. Yes? Yes?
In the movement, in the suffering moment, Krishna himself gives the solution.
In the suffering moment, Krishna himself gives the solution?
Yeah.
Yes. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yes? In the midst of adverse, when you're in the midst of a very adverse situation, your state of helplessness conveys how dependent you really are on Krishna.
Okay, your state of helplessness conveys how dependent you really are on Krishna. Okay, yes?
When we suffer, the first question we ask is, why are we suffering?
Why am I suffering?
Particular suffering, and then you try to think, okay, maybe Krishna is giving me the suffering because of this, maybe it's because of that. You're not qualified to just judge whether...
Okay. You may not be able to understand why.
Don't try to understand why.
Yes?
Krishna knows what we need.
Okay? That's what you can learn. And Krishna knows what we need. Yes?
During the time of suffering, or maybe after that, the realization comes that what I've been asking or, praying for was a very selfish desire.
Okay, what I was praying for was a very selfish desire. You learned.
Trying to do business rather than devotion.
Trying to do business rather than devotion. Okay, that was a good thing to learn. Yes?
During suffering, you really come to know who is your real friend.
During suffering, you come to know who is your real friend. That's very profound. Who is your real friend? Yes?
This material body is an embarrassment.
The material body is an embarrassment, you learned. Okay, yes?
You can see Krishna's kindness through his devotees,
but you can see his kindness through his devotees. That's a wonderful realization. Yes? What do you have to say? Krishna helps the devotees because they became dear devotees. Yeah. Okay, you learned, that's a very nice thing. So you'll be a big preacher when you get big. But if you realize that at such a young age, very good, very nice. Yes, and so these are things that we need to learn when we suffer. Because oftentimes we ask, why me? And then the next question, why me? Why not someone else? And then, yes. So the devotee who thinks, why someone else? Why not me? That's the pure devotee. Why should they suffer? Let me suffer for them. So that's the pure devotee, yes.
Suffering deepens our appreciation, our relationship with Krishna.
Suffering brings up our appreciation of our relationship with Krishna. Okay, yes?
Suffering makes us call out to Krishna
deeply. Suffering makes us call out to Krishna deeply. And I'll tell you one verse I read from Bhagavatam, very interesting verse. It said that the people who lived in the previous time, Satya Yuga and Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, they prayed to be born in Kali Yuga. Because it's so easy to become Krishna conscious in Kali Yuga. You have so many problems. In the other yugas, you don't cry out in helplessness or hopelessness. But in this, there's so many disturbances. So they pray, let us be born in Kali Yuga. So it's not so bad as you think. It's actually, there's a great wonder. Tomorrow's verse in Bhagavatam. I'll be speaking on the net on Sunday. Yes.
Possible we were the ones praying to be born in Kali
Yuga. It's possible. Yeah, think about that. It's possible. We were the ones who were praying to be born in Kali Yuga. Yeah, okay, yeah.
You
next time
sure
you suffer.
You can be dead sure that he can dole you out of any calamity?
Pardon me?
You can be dead sure that he can dole you out of any calamity.
You can be dead sure that?
He can save you from any calamity.
He can save you from any calamity. Krishna, yes, very good. Yes?
So much for people who hardly think of him. Want to speak of people who always think of him.
Yes.
They'll be royally protected.
Very good. Yes?
I learned that I should be more tolerant.
You learned that you should be more tolerant.
And patient.
And patient. Yes, we learned that. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10:30 in the temple room for our next class. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.